The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller, with you on this 23rd day of April 2019. And as promised, coming from the land of Deutschland is Harley Schlanger with the EIR Report. How are you doing, Harley?
I'm doing fine, John. How are you?
Fair to middling, mostly good, with a good Texas tailwind. Hey, I didn't see your latest story. What was that about?
Oh, I think I sent it to you last week. I didn't write this most immediate week, but I wrote something on the relationship between the Kennedy administration and the Trump administration, that there were some parallels, including the emphasis on production, on economic development, on trying to resolve the relationship with Russia. But most importantly, who are the enemies of Kennedy? And there's a very interesting book by a professor, Donald Gibson, which is not very well known. It's called Battling Wall Street. And I think you would like it because it goes through Kennedy's fight with the Federal Reserve in particular. But also it points out that Kennedy's biggest enemies were centered around the Morgan Rockefeller financial interests. Mm-hmm. And Professor Gibson shows how these were financial interests in the U.S. that were connected to the City of London, the Rothschild networks, but especially British connections toward the royal family. And the point that he makes is that when Kennedy was president, what Kennedy emphasized was science and technology, that the future depended on having a credit policy that put money into physical production. And this was at odds with what this London Wall Street banking community wanted, and that they probably killed Kennedy. And then more importantly, after Kennedy was dead, they started pursuing this zero growth, anti-science, anti-technology policy, which was largely focused on reducing the world's population. And Gibson makes the point that the same people who opposed Kennedy's economics opposed the idea of population growth. Now, interestingly, from my standpoint, you now look 30 years after that period, because he was writing about the 80s, you look at the present, and what do you see? Precisely the same networks are the ones that targeted Donald, that are still targeting Donald Trump for precisely the same reason, because he is moving away or trying to move away from their geopolitical doctrine of confrontation, war, chaos, and complete independence of the central banks.
Well, and Harley, I've been telling our listeners that what you're seeing is just the operatives, the ex-CIA, Mr. Clapper, or the head of the FBI, or whatever the case may be. These are just the sock puppets.
They're the operatives who are deployed, exactly.
Exactly right. And what's behind this is the globalist and its structure, its power structure, which has been the international bankers. And I touch the deep state. You could throw everybody out in Washington, D.C. They'd just replace them like light bulbs. This is not going to do anything to make America great again, or as a friend of mine said, make America honest or ethical again.
Well, if you look at the reaction to the Mueller report, I mean, there are a few things that I'll just make as a preface. Mueller found out within a few weeks, if he didn't already know, that there was no collusion, that there was no Trump-Russia cooperation. Why did he wait almost 2 years before he put that out in a report? Because the intent was not to prove collusion. It was to destroy the Trump administration or the potential of the Trump administration. Now, the other thing that remains in the Mueller report is the lie that there was a Russian cyber attack on the Clintons. That never happened.
No, it didn't.
And Bill Binney, who I've done some interviews with recently, the leading technical expert at the National Security Agency for years until they threw him out, he proved through an actual forensic investigation, which, by the way, Mueller never did, he proved that it wasn't a hack, but an inside job. And in one of the interviews I did with Bill, he basically admitted it probably was Seth Rich,
right,
who downloaded the documents from the DNC computer, which he had access to, mm-hmm, and delivered them to Julian Assange.
Did he happen to say at whose behest Mr. Seth was made to cease to be alive? Could it have been Debbie Wasserman Schultz and the gang?
Yeah, Bill doesn't speculate on those kinds of things, but okay, it's pretty clear. If you ask the question, who benefited from removing Seth Rich, it was the Clintons, who had basically made the decision that they were going to blame the Russians for the hacking or the release of documents, and more importantly, divert attention from the corruption of their campaign against Bernie Sanders. So the whole operation to start Russiagate was designed to cover up for the fraud and crimes of Hillary Clinton and her network. Remember, Trump is still threatening to declassify the FISA documents. The FISA warrants were based on a fraudulent report from the British, from Christopher Steele, that was certified by Sir Richard Dearlove, who was the head of MI6 during the Iraq War period. Remember, Mueller goes back to this also. John, I'm sure you've seen the video of Robert Mueller as FBI director in 2003 asserting to a congressional committee, we have evidence and proof that Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction.
Right.
So here you have the so-called straight arrow Mueller caught in one of the biggest lies that's cost this country dearly. You know, not just the $8 to $10 trillion we've spent on it and the lives lost, but the destruction of any sense of a global security agreement.
Well, and excuse me here, but also to expound on the point that Libya, once that Muammar Gaddafi was dethroned and drugged through the streets and killed, that all the armaments and munitions that were there were being transported to where? The U.S.-backed supposed ISIS in Syria.
Exactly. And this is something that Michael Flynn reported on. This is why Flynn was targeted, just as Manafort was targeted because he knew about the Clinton networks. Clinton was gone during the Ukraine coup, but it was networks she left in place that carried out a coup that brought in neo-Nazis into the power structure of Ukraine.
Right.
And not only that, but do you know who wrote 100 memos on Ukraine before the Maidan Square so-called rebellion? 100 memos that were sent to the State Department?
Could it have been Clapper with the CIA or Mueller with the FBI?
Close. It was Christopher Steele.
Ah.
And Christopher Steele's sources for the so-called dossier, probably were Ukrainians. Now, it's interesting, with the election in Ukraine over the weekend, where Poroshenko, the prostitution and chocolate king, was thrown out, even though this guy Zelensky, who is now the comedian, who's now the president of Ukraine, it's possible that some of these stories are going to come out, including the role of Victoria Nuland and before that, Hillary Clinton, in setting, releasing $5 billion that was used for pulling off a coup in Ukraine. So a lot of these stories now are gaining shape. Now, you said something earlier. You said, well, these guys will get rid of the people who are the front men, the sock puppets, and bring in others. Mm-hmm. That's the way they've always operated in the past. Now, what might change that? What might change it is if Trump is able to survive and is really angry enough and appeals to the American people to join him in breaking the power of the shadow government, we might be able to get a change. And if we don't get that change, if Trump is completely neutered and put under the control of people like John Bolton and Pompeo and Pence and the old Kissinger crew that's still around in the State Department, then we may very well head into a nuclear World War III. So I think we have to fight to back the president, to give him the leeway if he wishes to wage the fight to bring down these networks.
Well, and
will it happen? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, well, and I've said this, watching what has transpired and the falsehoods, the Russian collusion. I watched Sean Hannity in an interview with Julian Assange at the Ecuadorian consul or the consulate in London, him sitting there and grilling Assange, well, where did this information come from? Knowing full well that as a real journalist that he's going to protect his sources, he declined to answer him. And then he went through the list. Was it the Red Chinese? Was it the Russians? Did it come from America? It was almost like he was tipped to ask that question, did it come from the U.S.? And here we sit, and all indicators are that Seth Rich was murdered because he didn't like what the DNC had done to Bernie Sanders. Now, good, bad, or indifferent, every once in a while, no matter what your political stripe, you get things right. That information was downloaded from a government computer and then on a thumb drive sent to Julian Assange, and he put it on WikiLeaks. Now, here's my next question. Now that they've got Julian Assange in custody, do you think he's ever going to see the inside of a U.S. courtroom?
You know, this is an interesting question because everyone assumed, just as a matter of course, that he would be extradited. Mm-hmm. There's, as you may know, there's a huge government crisis in the United Kingdom. And I would say it's almost impossible to predict the way this thing will fall out. The reason I say that is that ordinarily, whatever the British do is for the worse. Their policy has been to defend the empire, to defend the interlocking global elites above all else. But those global elites can't agree on what to do with Brexit. They can't agree on whether they should be aligned with the U.S. or not, or with Europe or not, or even with Russia and China. So there's an incredible upheaval in U.K. politics, which is quite unusual because for the last two centuries, they had one policy, and that policy was to either destroy the United States or use the U.S. military power to impose British global policies. So Assange is in an interesting position because he's not just one person. He's got other people who work with him. For example, Ambassador Murray, the former British ambassador to Kazakhstan, who was the person who had the thumb drive delivered to him in Washington. He knows it was not the Russians. He knows who did it. Now, you're right about something that most Americans don't really think about, which is that Assange, were he to say who gave him these documents, would no longer be trusted as a journalist again. And so it's not going to come from him, probably. But I think it's a really fascinating situation overall, John, because there's so many variables and unpredictable potentials. And any one of these could blow up in the face of the people who generally have had their way.
Well, Harley, this information, it's in the wind. There is more complete and accurate information on the Clinton Foundation, Donna mm-hmm. Brazile, that was the head of the Clinton Foundation, that mysteriously, after she bleach-bitted, destroyed servers, emails, 33,000. You know the drill. You know the story. You've heard it 100 times. Sure. Well, what does Fox News do? Well, they bring her in, and she's now a contributing member of the Fox News cast. And I'm telling people that here is your last vestige of what you used to consider to be conservative news. That is in the wind. All this deplatforming, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, it doesn't matter. This is they're going to have a central clearinghouse, and the exercise behind that is to stop the free flow of this damaging information against the criminals and the oh my God, the traitors. There are people that could go to jail for two lifetimes over this.
John, that's why there's so many potentials here that are could blow up everything. Now, one of the other points I would make, and again, you and I did not discuss this, and I'm not on your payroll or anything of the sort, but what Republic Broadcasting represents is one of the few platforms people have outside of the controlled media. So many people turn to Fox and they say, well, Fox, they're with us. They're with Trump. Mm-hmm. Well, Fox is Murdoch. Murdoch is the British Empire, the right side, you might say, or the so-called conservative side of the British elite. That's how does a guy from Australia, a fairly crude guy like Rupert Murdoch, become a global media magnate? He was favored. He was put in that position. And so this is the controlled side of the so-called conservative movement.
And now what you're saying is the left side of the controlled media, which is now his sons, which are what? Liberal. He was the phony Fox right, and his sons are the phony Fox left.
Yeah, they're Hollywood connected very much.
Yeah.
But then you also see what I find most fascinating is the Democrats are ranting and raving about the Republicans this, the Republicans that. Most of the Republicans don't support Donald Trump. The ones in the Senate don't support him. Why? Because they're on the payroll of the banks. They're on the payroll of the consulting firms and the armaments, the so-called military-industrial complex. That's why you have Republicans and Democrats joining together to oppose Trump's efforts to pull troops out of Syria. That's why you have Republicans and Democrats trying to get the United States to pull off a regime change coup in Venezuela. Now, here's something that I think may be news for your listeners that people should be looking at. There's a conference coming up at the end of this week in Beijing, the Second Belt and Road Initiative Conference, which will have at least 39 or 40 heads of state there, mapping out the biggest infrastructure programs in the world ever that the Chinese have initiated, but with many other governments. Now, at the same time, Trump is trying to negotiate a mega deal with China. And this is difficult. I mean, it's not an easy thing to do because the Chinese have their own interests. But it also is necessary for both countries to do this. So why are people like Marco Rubio trying to sabotage Trump's relationship with China? Because if Trump and Xi Jinping can pull off this trade deal, it's potentially the end of the existing financial system. The move toward a financial system in which credit goes to production, not to swindlers who speculate. And so I think we'll see what happens in Beijing this weekend. In itself, it won't be definitive, but combined with the negotiations going on between the Trump administration and the Chinese on trade, we could be seeing something that's as Trump says, epic.
We're coming up on break here in just about a minute, Harley. I posted a story day before yesterday telling the tale of Germany and its almost $50 trillion of bad debt over there, which we'll get into also. My guest today, Harley Schlanger, I wish this guy was stateside. I'd be interviewing him more often, but he's coming to us tonight from Germany. We'll be back with Mr. Schlanger right after this.
No reason to get excited!
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Talking with Harley Schlanger from EIR. Harley, I'm watching a lot of wagons being circled. And whether you're Donna Brazile, whether you're Hillary Clinton, the foundation, it was rather interesting to see how fast that foundation was shut down after she lost the election. And then the extreme measures she took to try to hide her tracks, which she should have been indicted on in the first place. So now it's going to be an ongoing, and the Russian collusion is pretty much out the window because the truth has not been revealed. But there's got to be something wrong with Donald Trump, so they're going to continue to investigate, which is not really the purview of the U.S. Congress to go around, keep investigating somebody, because their powers are limited on the reasons for impeachment. I mean, let's not forget that Bill Clinton was impeached for lying. I mean, that was a felony. He was impeached, but he was not removed from office. But we have a... Harley, I'm having a hard time getting my mind wrapped around how Hillary Clinton is so calm to be out there stumping now and goading Donald Trump. I just saw her today. She was in the news. She was giving a talk, and, you know, the Donald Trump thing, you know, this guy, blah, 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 has got to go. Nancy Pelosi's going, well, wait a minute, I'm not pushing for impeachment, but maybe further investigation.
Well, this is pretty interesting. what would Hillary do? What are her options? If she disappears, then people are going to be suspicious that she's running. So she's making a calculated judgment that if she is aggressive and out in public, maybe they'll leave her alone. Now, here's the real story, though. You have Devin Nunes, the former Republican chair of the Intelligence Committee, who has piles of evidence on the Clinton Foundation, the Clinton role in violating the FISA court rules. You've got documents piled up from FBI interrogations, also internal FBI documents. What was Comey doing? Who was Comey talking to? Things like the Loretta Lynch, Bill Clinton, famous tarmac controversial discussion. There's tons of material out there, some of which is already in the hands of investigators. Now, the important thing is that it's not a question of seeking revenge or anything like that. It's a question of cleaning up the mess in Washington. If you don't clean this up, these networks will kill again. They'll launch new wars again. They'll continue to lie and corrupt this nation until there's nothing left. So Trump really has no choice but to go on an offensive. And he has very few people on the Republican side who will do that with him, because they're saying, look, let's not overstep our position here. Now, on the Democratic side, I think the Pelosi thing is pretty interesting. Pelosi, if she's anything, she's a good vote counter. She knows that she's not going to get enough votes in the Republican Senate to convict Trump, even if he were impeached in the Democratic House. She also knows that if the Democrats talk about nothing but Trump, Russia, and Mueller, that the population is pretty soon going to get tired of it, especially because that's going to be Trump's whole theme. His theme is going to be the country we could be making America great again, or we could be going to hell while the Congress is doing nothing. So I think he's got an upper hand here that he has to play, and he shouldn't be coy about it or shouldn't be strategic. He should be like a damn steamroller going after Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Susan Rice, Clapper, Brennan, the whole crew over at the FBI, and then connect them to our enemies in British intelligence. And if Trump does that, then he'll have outflanked them completely. If he doesn't include the British side, it's a vulnerability. A very big vulnerability.
Well,
especially because the British are so weak right now.
Yeah. I have suggested, and many people took this as tongue-in-cheek, and it really was not. I said that, and the old axiom, the best offense is a good defense. Well, he's been doing that for over 2 years. And defending and combating and the falsehoods and the media that even Fox News and the selected ones like Wallace that's on there. I'm looking at this whole thing, and I've said this repeatedly. What Donald Trump needs to do is to hunker down, and I mean really hunker down, bunker style, have trusted security around him go incognito, start putting out and watch the media's try to dance around this one when he wants to address the nation, and kind of the latter-day fireside chats that FDR made famous. And go directly to the American people and laying out this case, because they're not going to filter it through the news. That's going to be twisted. The news is going to be bastardized. And the problem people are having right now is they're being confused by a deluge of information that, when you boil it down, means absolutely nothing. Yeah. So we're in a position right now that Donald Trump has to make some strong strategic moves. Otherwise, I'm speculating here. I have no evidence except history past. I'm sure Mr. Trump has been visited and said, you know, Donald, you need to play ball here or some bad things might happen. You might be impeached. You might go to jail. Or there might have been another visit that reminded Mr. Trump, you do know that we make presidents go away, don't you?
Sure.
All right. Hang on, Harley. We got a break, bottom of the hour break here. Harley Schlanger is my guest. Always pleased to have this guy on. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Somewhere, I know I'll find you somehow, and somehow I'll return again to you.
Oh, what wicked webs we weave when we are out to deceive. Harley, in my entire lifetime, I've seen presidents murdered. I have seen chaos in the political system. I have seen the takedown in the financial system. But I ain't never seen anything like this. And the options, if things go badly for the Hillary Clinton cabal, will they do nuclear war? We don't know. But I can tell you one thing. If we've got to have a second American revolution, which I call basically the restoration, these people are confused. Even Fox News is confused as to what form of government we have, what type. You know, it's this wonderful democracy. No, you damn fools. It is a constitutionally limited republic, which I find fascinating because the Democrats are using that word constitution more. And they're not being challenged any more than any one of these guys or any of the talking heads on any mainstream media is being challenged with misidentifying, which is really important. This is like calling a Cadillac a Volkswagen or vice versa. It's the wrong connotation attached to a government that we still have. And I'm looking at the board here. If we've got to have a second American Revolution, I'd much prefer that people like General Flynn be leading the charge.
John, let me go back to something you just said a couple minutes ago on the whole Clinton question and where this is going, and also the threat to President Trump. My old boss, Lyndon LaRouche, had a very interesting approach to the being slandered, attacked, and threatened with assassination. And he said, ultimately, even if you have the best security, if you're a public person, you can't hide in a bunker. You've got to go out and mobilize your base. And he said the best way to protect yourself is to name the names of the people who would be your assassins, so that if something happens, people know who did it. There's no question about it. This was a mistake John Kennedy made. He knew damn well there were guns being pointed at him. He knew it from the early on with the CIA rebellion against him around the Bay of Pigs, but especially after June 1963 when he issued the Executive Order 11110, which established a treasury note, issuance of treasury notes instead of Federal Reserve notes. He knew a price was on his head at that point, but he didn't go out and tell people who his enemies were. Privately, he did. He talked to his brother and a few others. But had he gone out publicly, as you and I have talked about before with Trump, Trump does well when he goes out in front of these large rallies. He should do those and combine them, I think, with a series of maybe 5 30-minute addresses to the American people, whether they're maybe even 20 minutes, so they're not, so they can be concise and clear, but where he starts out by saying, who ran Russiagate? Why did they do it? How did they do it? What are the networks operating that are benefiting from destroying my presidency? If he gave people, broke it down that way and presented it, I think there would be a deep support developing for him, even among people who were not supporting him in 2016. If he doesn't do that, he still has a chance to win the election, because you've got this absolute circus on the Democratic side, which is not so different from what Trump pounded on the Republican side in 2016. You remember that clown show?
Yes.
So, and the other thing is the Democrats can't agree on what they're for. The Green New Deal is a complete fraud. It's a satanic anti-population, anti-growth policy. And most Democrats who have any connection with labor, which is still a portion of the Democratic Party, can't support it because it'll destroy the few productive workers we have left. They don't know what to do on trade. They don't know what to do on infrastructure or fiscal policy. They certainly don't know what to do on foreign policy. And even with his limited successes in those areas, Trump has something he can run on. So I think the real issue is to stop, to break the back of this whole British-directed discussion of Putin running Trump and Trump being a pussy for Putin. Break that and get the story out about what he's trying to do with Russia, with China, with North Korea, with trade, and so on. It's got to be done.
You know, I'm finding it rather fascinating what I'm not hearing. And I'm not hearing anything out of Mike Pence, not even little snippets, quotable snippets that I trust Donald Trump and he's a good president and I'm a good vice president and we're going to continue. I'm hearing nothing out of that guy. And I for my money, I don't know how you see it, but I do believe that he's one of the deep state operatives, or more importantly, one of the sock puppets. And he knows
sock puppet is more like it, because yeah. He's someone who can be manipulated in the same way George W. Bush could. You know, he has this deep religious belief, which is based on his own sense of his own infallibility. You know, that he was selected by God to be president. You know, you have to be very wary when you have people in high office who think that way. You know, Bush had the same sense, George W. Bush.
Well, so but they know that, you know, and I'm not knocking Christianity and the Christian faith here, but every politician knows that when things get dicey, you slather yourself with Jesus goo, and that's your shield. That how can you be anything but a good man if you believe in Jesus? It's an old trick.
When someone on the Dallas Cowboys scores a touchdown and he says, "Jesus was with me today," you know, was Jesus not with the other side? You know, who chooses these sides?
You mean God isn't a fan of the Dallas Cowboys, America's team? I am shocked.
Well, I know that's why there's the hole in the roof of the old stadium, yes. So you can watch the team play. I lived in Texas long enough to learn that. But my deeper point here is that you have people who actually think that they could take over the U.S. government and use it as an instrument to bring on the Battle of Armageddon and convert all the Jews to Christianity and bring back Jesus. And, you know, when you use the power of a military which possesses enough weapon strength to destroy the human population 40, 50 times over, it's a little dangerous. And from what I'm hearing, and this is just some of the sources I have, Trump is not too happy with Mike Pence right now. They are having lunch tomorrow. It's the first time they've had lunch in about 6 weeks, whereas they used to have it every week together.
Well, if I were Donald Trump, I would have my taster of my food, that's for sure. I'll tell you what. I usually don't do this, but I've got callers here that don't call in very often, and I'm going to ask the callers to keep your questions or your statements very brief because we only have Harley for an hour today. Anthony in Arizona. Go ahead, Anthony.
Yes, I'm sorry to hear that you have a time lapse thing there to where you could censor the words that are spoken that
I'm sorry, Anthony, I don't know where you're getting your information because that is incorrect.
Well, I'm listening to you on my phone and I hear
What you're listening to is the feed from the satellite and through the internet, which has a delay on it. We have no delay here at the network.
Well, my observation and the studies that I've made with regard to the Rothschild and their control of the English government, that was one of the reasons why we broke from it, because the sun never set on the British Empire because they needed money to operate all of those colonies that they took over, and the colonists felt that it was easier to overthrow him than to live under the additional taxation that he was putting upon them.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, Anthony, if anybody ever noticed this, but it's real hard to run and maintain an empire. Just ask the Romans.
Well, they were borrowing the money from the bankers called Rothschild or the Warburgs or the Weissman, and then when they cut that money off, and we won the revolution in 1812. Then they went back and had to start that war again to try to get back the country because they were losing all of the income because this country was producing the natural resources that would pay for the...
Okay, Anthony, you're dialoguing here, and I've got to move on. I thank you for your points and your call. Let me go to Ted in Mississippi. Hello, Ted.
Yes. My question is, I take pine gum spirits.
Wait a minute. We're not talking about gum spirits here today, Ted. Okay, thank you. Thank you for your call. What? Harley, I think there's too much fluoride in our water.
I thought there was a coda missing or something.
Yeah. Okay, let's continue here. All right. I've got a tendency to believe here. Let me see. We were the aggressors with atomic weapons. We now got super hydrogen weapons. I don't think that World War III is going to be an option here because the globalists have not shuffled off our mortal coil and set up a camp on another planet. I don't think that nuclear war here is going to be an option.
Well, I'm not saying that they would launch a nuclear war. I'm saying that they could do something that could accidentally trigger a nuclear war. You know, if you look at the discussion going on in NATO, and by the way, I want to get back to the Germany question in a minute.
Yes,
it's very interesting.
Yes.
But on NATO just had a meeting in Brussels, and then they had the 70th anniversary of NATO, and they sent Jens Stoltenberg over to address the Congress, and he was treated like a great hero, largely because the people in the Congress know that Trump doesn't like NATO. But what's NATO talking about? They're preparing for a Russian invasion of Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania, which Putin has no intention of ever doing. But we're deploying troops, American troops now, on the Polish border with Russia. We're deploying troops all over the Baltic. I was just up in Finland recently, and they're trying to get Finland to join NATO, whereas Finland has been a neutral country since it was carved out of Sweden and Russia at the end of World War I. So there's a push for confrontation. Now, fortunately, Putin is a relatively rational guy who's not going to blunder in the nuclear war. But you have these systems that are set up that if they pick up signals that there might be incoming strikes, they automatically respond. That's the only way we could have a nuclear war.
Yeah.
But that's why Trump wants to talk to Putin about getting rid of these weapons and spending the money instead on education, healthcare, roads, bridges, power production, and so on.
Well, but in my studies and my readings, this was document 7277. You know, a lot of people thought that Kennedy walked on water and he was a pretty doggone good Democrat. Well, you know, he was doing some good things. He was rubbing people the wrong way. He wanted to spread the CIA to the four winds. You're right about the federal notes that he ordered the Treasury through the executive order to print, which went directly against the interest, pun intended, of the globalist bankers.
Right.
But there's something else that he did. He also signed on to the document 7277, complete and general disarmament in a peaceful world, up to and including the elimination of atomic weapons. Now, or hydrogen weapons, if you will. Now, so far, we've gone 55, 65, 70, almost 75 years without using these nuclear weapons because it would turn into the mad scenario, mutually assured destruction,
right,
and it'd be real hard to live on a radioactive planet Earth.
Right.
And I think those weapons still being in place with overt reaching over the borders, talking to leaders and having real detente with foreign nations is the way to go. And eventually, I would like to see those nuclear weapons go bye-bye. But for right now, we've lived with this quote-unquote threat for 75 years, and nothing has happened yet. So we've got, I think, bigger fish to fry in the global geopolitical arena here with reaching across the borders and reaching out to other nations' leaders to calm all of this down, to restructure. They've all suffered under the true masters of this planet, if you will, and that's the international bankers. They recognize that. They know it. There's stuff that they need to be doing for their own countries. There's infrastructure to rebuild. There's debt to get rid of. There is a laundry list of things that these people have either directly created or indirectly created. So we've got a lot of work to do. And
The one thing they're not going to do, John, is allow a debt moratorium unless it's forced on them, a debt moratorium or a forgiveness. And that's the only way to deal with the debt problem. Anyone who thinks they can come up with a plan for eliminating the tens of trillions of dollars of unsustainable corporate debt, the private debt, the personal debt, the credit card debt, the student loan debt, and so on, it's not going to go away. And in fact, it's going to keep growing because of interest.
Okay, Harley, I agree with you there. And I've heard, and I don't know how well it would work, but they keep citing $21, $22 trillion in debt. That's our deficit. No, our deficit is much, much, much greater than that. This was arrived at through a system, a corrupt system, that certain people had interest in, but that debt could be retired. I mean, they're calling this stuff legitimate money. We could have our Treasury print up a $30 trillion note, if you will, to retire the phony debt with phony, you know, money. It doesn't matter.
Well, there are all sorts of means of getting rid of this debt, one of which would also be to start putting in jail the speculators who created the debt.
Which
would be an interesting prospect.
No, now you're going back to 2008, where the entire population, there's two things that this world recognized and ceded governments. One, the biggest ripoff ever witnessed by mankind. Mm-hmm. It has disrupted commerce, brought countries to its knees, and that is the ticking time bomb, as you well know, what's going on in Germany. That's the ticking time bomb that's still going on.
Let's look at that, because this is important. What I started saying, and Mr. LaRouche was very clear on this, he forecast a year in advance that the banking system would blow out at a webcast in July 2007. And he said the solution is no bailout, no bail-in, and no bail for the bankers, the three no bails. Now, what did they do? They did a bail-in, or a bailout, rather. Then they're doing a bail-in. But they've already spent somewhere close to $30 trillion to protect the bad debt. Now, what happens when you pay off bad debt with new debt? You increase the unsustainable nature of the debt. Then you have on top of that these funny money instruments called derivatives and swaptions and things of that sort. Mm-hmm. Now, take a look at Germany. You have a bank called Deutsche Bank, which used to be one of the best managed banks in the world. It was the bank of the German economic miracle. It was the bank that funded the auto sector here, the machine tool sector. And it was solid. And it had depositors and it had a very small trading division. Now, what happened after 2000 is that trading division moved to London and became the center of the bank. And it ran up $48 to $53 trillion in derivative obligations. They can't escape that. So they've been cutting back on their commercial lending. Well, that's stupid, because that's the only way that produces real money. So now they're in a situation where their stock has fallen down to about 6 or 7 euros a share. The bank is completely insolvent. And under European Union law, the German government can't bail them out. So what are they going to do? They're going to try and merge them with Commerzbank, which is a bank that collapsed in 2008, that the German government now owns something like 45% of it. So that the German bank, if the two merged, the German central bank could then legitimately bail out Deutsche Bank. What will that do? That'll buy them another year. Meanwhile, they're shutting down the German auto sector with this crazy environmentalist nonsense, right. Shutting down diesel cars. Right. They've shut down the nuclear industry. They're talking about getting rid of fossil fuels in Germany. They're on a complete march to extinction. And Merkel now is being promised, this just happened today, Juncker, the head of the European Union, said she would make an excellent bureaucrat for the European Union. Well, that's what she's been. She's been an enforcer of the EU policy in Germany. The person who would replace her, whose initials are AKK, they call her Mini Merkel. Her name is pretty much unpronounceable even in German. She's even more of a crazy environmentalist and an anti-Russian kook than Merkel. So what's going to happen to Germany? Well, everyone is watching the upcoming European parliamentary elections, because what's happening in Italy is that a government which is addressing the problems of the European Union, rejecting the European Union, their banking program, their immigration program, and so on, the parties that are doing that are becoming more and more popular throughout Europe. So we're in a situation now where Germany may be the last country that upholds Europe, because of the control, the post-World War II brainwashing that made Germans embarrassed about being Germans. Mm-hmm. So that's now. Then you look at France, where Macron, whatever else happened at Notre Dame, Macron is trying to use it to rally the French people after he was nearly overthrown by this rebellion of the so-called Yellow Vests. So Europe is going down. The U.S. looks good in comparison to what's happening in Western Europe.
Well, everything is still somewhat intact in this country. When I say pretty much intact, it's tattered, it's worn, but we're not an experiment here gone awry. We did a form of government. It's not not absolutely perfect, but it worked. And it can be again. And I'm rather fascinating. We're going to find out who's willing to stand up. And those that have the ability have not stepped out in the light yet. They're still on the sidelines. But we're going to have a very interesting remaining part of 2019. I see most economists starting to predict that, the recession might hit us in the summertime. I think when that they start pulling out the Django blocks near the base on this one, the whole thing will fall. But having said that, there are ways that you can continue to function and still have an economy if they're willing to do it. Hey, look, before we get out of here today, I would love to have Bill Binney on this program. And if you would tell the gentleman that, as you said earlier, we're one of the last bastions here of people that have the courage to put the truth out there. We're hanging it out over the line here. If Bill wants to come and hang out with us to share a little bit of his knowledge and wisdom, he would be most certainly welcome to do so, Arlie.
Well, he's willing to do it depending on his schedule, and I'll just check and find out. But one of the things we're trying to do is get him before these congressional committees, because they won't call him, even though he's known as probably the leading cyber warfare expert that's ever been produced in the United States.
Well, look, if I see Bill Binney and Julian Assange walking into a committee hearing, I know that I'd died and gone to heaven.
Well, John, I'll see if I can arrange for him to come on with you sometime in the next week or two.
Yeah, you're busy globetrotting. By the way, just a curiosity here, aren't you... do you find yourself looking over your shoulder or paying closer attention when you're traveling abroad now?
Well, yeah, sometimes I do. When I came to the United States the end of February, I had a lawyer on call just in case something happened. But no, look, you have to face the fact that the world is a dangerous place, but it's also infinitely fascinating. And you do these things, at least for me, I do these things out of love of mankind, even though, like the old Charlie Brown character, humanity I love, it's people I can't stand.
I have a favorite T-shirt that I'm going to have reprinted. I love my country. It's my government I fear. Yeah. Here we kill whistleblowers and journalists. And that's the one other point I wanted to make when we were talking about Julian Assange. Everybody on this planet understands WikiLeaks and what exactly they've done. There are many eyes on this situation. Many eyes.
And look, if people want to get a hold of me or want to take a look at some of my articles, send me an email at harleysch@gmail.com, and I'll send you a link to my blog. I put out an article almost every week, so it's harleysch@gmail.com. And also, there's a link to my interview with Bill Binney on that site. So
very well. I appreciate that very much. And please don't forget to send us your articles. We post them on republicbroadcasting.org.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Take care.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. Harlie Schlanger, folks. I always love having this guy on. Legitimate as they get. Maybe one of these days, after the dust clears, we can actually get Julian Assange on this program. All right. Second hour of the National Intel coming up, folks. Stay tuned. I got a lot of stuff to go over.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75% dandruff. Almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.